Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network for this Monday, July the 17th, 2023. Got all that right. I'm Tim Wildman with Ed Battagliano. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Tim.
And Fred Jackson. Good morning, Fred.
Good morning, Tim.
We thank everybody for listening. If you want to watch this show, Ed, how can they do that?
Well, they have two ways, Tim. They can go to Facebook and search for Today's Issues. Click through and you can watch the live video stream for this program. Or you can go to our own streaming platform, AFA Streaming. That is at streaming.afa.net. Streaming.afa.net. Very quick process to sign up and get an account there. You can watch not only the video stream for this program, but other radio talk show programs we have available on American Family Radio, as well as watching at least some of the content we have there on our streaming platform.
That's streaming.afa.net. Streaming.afa.net. Hope everybody had a great weekend. Fred, you were joking. We were looking at the weather map for the U.S., and you said breaking news what?
It's hot in Phoenix in July.
Dun, 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 dun. Breaking news. Joking around about it. It's hot in the summertime, okay, a lot of places. But there's a heat wave in the Southwest, right?
There is.
That's stretching across to parts of Texas.
Yeah, Dallas is very hot. My sister lives in the Dallas area. My daughter-in-law has part of her family is also in the Dallas area, and it's been a scorching summer for the folks in Dallas. Mm-hmm. Very hot.
Well, in Las Vegas and Phoenix and that area,
they're kind of used to. I mean, that's typical for them.
Yeah.
For Texas, I think this is above average, but I lived in the Phoenix area for 3 years. That was my wife and I, our first ministry position. And some of my relatives back north, I would tell them, yeah, it's been over 110 for 30 days straight. People would say, yeah, but it's a dry heat. And I would say, I've said it many times, yep, the oven is a dry heat. Put your head in there for a while and see how fun it is.
I remember one time I flew out of Phoenix, and if you fly over Phoenix, every house has a pool.
Yeah.
It's pretty amazing. And you know why? Because it's hot so much of the year. You know, you got to have some relief. But it was just amazing to me. I mean, it's how many swimming pools there were across, we flew out, across Phoenix. Anyway, I hope everybody's safe and staying cool as you can during this summertime. But Fred, what's the hottest news story we got going right now, Fred?
Well, I tell you what, see
what I did there?
Nice transition. Yeah. A story that we've been covering over the last several months, and that has to be with growing concern about the LGBTQ propaganda that our kids in schools are being exposed to. And certainly states like Florida have taken action to say parents have the right to know what their kids are being taught in school. One of the late stories that we've been dealing with is the growing concern amongst the Muslim community in our country in various locations like Hamtramck, Michigan, where they say, you know, we want to be able to teach our kids our values, and we don't want our public school system promoting the LGBTQ lifestyle. Well, that story has now moved across the border to Canada, and there have been protests by the Muslim communities in Calgary, Alberta, and Edmonton, Alberta, against the pro-LGBTQ curriculum in their schools. They've actually had protests. And to address that, late last week, Prime Minister Justin Trudeau went to a mosque in Calgary, and it's rather shocking what he said, but maybe not so if you know Justin Trudeau. He said the big problem he was addressing, and you're going to hear a little bit of a clip. It's a very kind of noisy background because he's in a mosque, a lot of people there. He said he said to the Muslim folks there, you're being misinformed. It's not propaganda. Your kids aren't being forced to accept something they don't believe in. You're being misinformed because of those right-wingers in the United States. I want you to have a listen, a little bit what he had to say. You have to listen carefully, but you'll hear his voice. Cut number six.
There is an awful lot of misinformation and disinformation out there. People on social media, particularly fueled by the American right wing, are spreading a lot of untruths. If you look at the various curriculums, you'll see that there is not what is being said out there about aggressive teaching or conversion of kids to being LGBT. That is something that is being weaponized.
Well, contrary to what Mr. Trudeau was telling those folks, the frustration reached a boiling point after audio surfaced of an Edmonton public schools teacher berating Muslim students for skipping school in order to avoid the Pride events. Here's what that teacher said. It goes two ways. If you want to be respected for who you are, if you don't want to suffer prejudice for your religion, your color of skin or whatever, then you better give it back to people who are different from you. That's how it works, according to that teacher. So the same tensions that we've seen here have moved across the border, but I thought it was interesting. Justin Trudeau, again, once again, saying it's misinformation. You don't have to worry, Muslims. And it's those bad, bad right-wing media people down in the United States causing all the problems.
Yeah, you know what? I don't trust these people anymore. And by these people, I mean people on the left. The quote-unquote progressives, or as Abraham Hamilton calls them, the regressives. To me, what Justin Trudeau said is similar to, in character, to what John Kerry said last week when he was being questioned. And he said, no, I have never personally owned a private jet. Well, a little bit of pushing, and he's forced to admit, well, my wife has one, and I fly on that.
Yes.
You know what? You're lying. You're shading the truth, and you're lying, Mr. Kerry, and that's what Justin Trudeau is doing, I believe. He's lying. His wording, when he was talking about, he used hyperbole, said there's not this, you know, this grand campaign to convert people to, you know, young people to trend. Oh, well, it's all in how you define all those words, okay? So there can be no doubt. Now, I don't know much about what's going on in Canada. I think they're worse than we are in this country, further down the road, so to speak.
More like Europe.
More like Europe. It is clear that the public school system, by and large, with some exceptions, and we always want to point that out, they're all in. And you have entire states now that are trying to push for policies whereby kids can transition to a different gender and the parents are never to be told.
Yep.
That's what the teachers are being, how they're being instructed. So it's all in the words that Justin Trudeau uses, and I don't trust these people anymore. And you know what? It's their fault. It's their fault for making us not trust them as being truthful.
This happened in Virginia too. This was part of the reaction of voters in Virginia, which is not a deep red state, but and a lot of people who were moderate to liberal reacting. People don't want an agenda, the LGBTQ agenda, promoted to their children in the schools when they're supposed to be there learning about reading, writing, and arithmetic. And they sneak this stuff in, unbeknownst to the parents a lot of times, in different various classes. And people are just reacting, saying, no, that's not what we send our kids to school for. Now, with respect to the Muslims, the teachings in Islam are the same as the teachings in Christianity in terms of homosexuality is considered a sin.
Yes.
We can't gloss that over. Okay. a boy, quote, transitioning to be a girl or vice versa is most Christians and most Muslims consider that to be abhorrent.
Yes.
And if you're going to promote that to children, you're going to who are in the public schools. This is another reason, side issue here, why millions of people have been pulling their kids out of public school, especially in these blue states, because they don't want to subject them to these kinds of things. Not to mention the academic failures that are going on in many of these places. So, but for Trudeau, he wants to blame it on the American right wing. That's what he said.
Yeah, and I think if I was a Muslim, I'd be insulted by that.
Yeah.
Basically, he's accusing the Muslims of being sucked in by those media
Too stupid to know the truth.
You're too stupid to know the truth. And by the way, your kids are lying to you when they tell you what their teacher told them at class.
Right.
So he didn't win any friends.
Yeah.
By the way, that's not going anywhere.
No.
And that's the misstep on a lot of these people on the left. They think parents are going away on this issue, and they're not.
They're not. And we've seen that in spades here in the States. In a somewhat related story, you may remember the story of Pastor Pulaski in Calgary. Remember, he was arrested several times when he continued to have services during the pandemic. Now he's facing a possible term of 10 years in prison because he went and spoke to the truckers who were protesting during the pandemic. So his sentencing is coming up early next month. But now there's a story about his 23-year-old son, Nathaniel Pulaski. He was invited, I want to stress this, by the European Parliament several days ago to go speak to the parliament about the threats to religious freedom. So he's the 23-year-old son of this pastor from Calgary. I want you to have a listen to what he said about the threats to religious freedom that he is seeing. Cut number one.
I am here today in desperation, a cry for help. I would like to stand here and tell you all the things about freedom and democracy that I like, but I no longer know those things. They have been taken away from us Canadians. Canada has fallen. My father was just found guilty of inciting mischief for giving a sermon to the truckers when they went and stood for our rights in 2022. A Christian sermon that referenced the solidarity movement was criminal in our government's eyes. A charge that has a penalty of up to 10 years in prison. This case sets a precedent to all Canadians and the world, if you allow this to happen, that anybody, including politicians and media, do not have the freedom to say or express what they have on their hearts for fear that what they say is mischief and could be liable to prison.
That's a pretty impressive 23-year-old right there.
It is. Hmm? Very much so.
He, by the way, himself is also facing charges.
Correct.
I'm reading from a Fox News story, says the pastor's son has himself been slapped with charges for a sermon he delivered in April outside a drag queen story hour with children at the Calgary Public Library, during which he allegedly violated a municipal bylaw passed in March that prohibits protests within 100 meters of a recreation facility or library entrance.
Now, in Canada, they don't have the same constitutional protections that we do here in the U.S. Is that right? Even though we're similar peoples, similar lifestyles, similar cultures in many respects, the law of Canada is not as protective of the individual as the law here in the U.S. Is that true?
That's true. And as we talked about many times, when Jerry Falwell was alive, had the old-time gospel hour, they had to do an edited version of that program going into Canada if they talked about homosexuality.
So did James Dobson.
Right.
James
focus Dobson. On the family.
Focus on the family. So this has been going on for years. So basically, we've come to it, and we're seeing it here in the United States. That's why I get very concerned when I see the government of the day, the Joe Biden administration, going after people who have a different opinion than what the official government stand is on a given issue. And that's why on Friday we had the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals giving the Biden administration the right once again to go and talk to social media. Remember, there was a federal judge's decision last week saying you can't continue doing this. And the concern being is that the Biden administration, certainly during the last election, and we had many examples of that, was telling social media to wipe out any comments that disagree with the official CDC line or what Dr. Fauci was saying. Mm-hmm. So now the Fifth Circuit.
Collusion. There was collusion between the big social media companies.
Yes.
Facebook, Twitter, and others, and the Biden administration.
Correct.
And the CDC and others to stop any messaging that countered the Biden CDC line on COVID, right?
Correct.
And quite frankly, with YouTube, we experienced it here.
Yes.
Because they cut us off. They didn't tell us exactly why, but it's because we talked about things that we weren't toeing the line of the CDC, and we're questioning the CDC, and we talked about ivermectin as a potential what would you say, treatment?
Yeah.
And other things. In other words, we just talked about in an open way the different views on
hydroxychloroquine. Yeah, we talked about it.
But that was not tolerated. Mm-hmm. If you didn't toe the CDC Biden administration line on COVID and COVID response, then you were persona non grata.
Yeah.
I've been waiting to use that. I practiced it all weekend. Did I get it right?
You did. Got
it.
Yes.
And
it's been expanded to the Hunter Biden laptop story.
Yes.
Yeah. You know. Yeah. And that's what this, I think it was the attorney generals of Missouri and Louisiana, maybe.
Yes.
Who were the ones who went to court over this. So just to tell people where this stands now, the one judge, federal judge, said the Biden administration cannot collude with the big social media companies. The Biden attorneys appealed this, and a three of the 15 or however many federal judges heard the case, mm-hmm. and have put a
they're allowing them to go and speak to the social media
but
again.
But this will more than likely, absolutely, it will go before the full Fifth Circuit,
yes,
which is in New Orleans, and they are considered one of the most conservative mm-hmm. Federal appellate courts in America. So I would expect this to be overruled, this three person, but we'll see what happens here.
Well, let me just say this. Mm. If this is not overruled,
right.
if the federal court system, whether it's just as the appellate court or eventually the Supreme Court, allows the government to work with
right.
big social
right.
to squelch
right.
views that the government doesn't think are proper,
right.
then we have no First Amendment.
Right.
Because technically it's not the government, but they're using proxies to conduct a smear campaign or a campaign to squelch alternative views. And then where does it stop? Yeah. It could be pastors.
Well, it could be on all kind of issues.
It doesn't
just have to be COVID. It could be whatever the Democrat line is on a particular issue, and every other alternative view is squelched. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So, I mean, to your point, where does that leave the First Amendment?
Yeah. What if the government decides, what if the Biden administration decides, because it's so in favor of the LGBTQ agenda, it tells Facebook, listen, you need to not promote views of pastors who believe that homosexuality is a sin. So you have entire churches who are cut out of Facebook.
How about radio networks?
Or radio networks. I mean, you think that's not possible? That's exactly what's happening in Canada, or nice. What has happened.
Right, right, right. All right, you're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Should you want to send us an email, the address is comments@afr.net. Comments@afr.net. We do have a podcast release of this show and many of the other shows we have on American Family Radio. That podcasting is growing in popularity. Just go to our website, afr.net, click on podcast, And you can listen to this show or other shows in podcast form. Brent, how long does it take us to get our show up on, if that's what you call it, podcast?
What I do is right after the show, I go to my office, do all the work behind the scenes it takes to put it on the website. Right. It probably takes 10 minutes. So usually
of hard
10,
work.
Yes. Yes. Very hard work.
I mean, I'm talking about clicking several different buttons. Are you right?
Right. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. I mean, don't undersell yourself. You know,
that's 10 minutes a day of very hard work.
Right. If you don't do it right, it's not done. You know, the podcast isn't there. All right. Next story, Fred.
Well, it's a story that you sent out, and it's related to what we've just been talking about. This involves a professor of psychology at Northwestern University, J. Michael Bailey, 66 years old, been teaching a long time. He expressed an opinion in a writing that a lot of young girls are being pressured into saying, I want to transition to a boy. And for that, he got censored. We don't want to hear that opinion. So it goes to what we've been talking about. It goes beyond governments. It's in academia now. We don't want any opinions opposed to what the official line is.
Right.
The
Northwestern University is in Chicago. It's a very prestigious academic school. And this gentleman had been, this could show you how much power these, I don't know what you call them, secular progressives have, especially in the world of colleges and universities. This gentleman had been teaching, he's 66 years old.
Correct.
And what was his school? Does it say what he teaches there?
Psychology. Yeah.
And I would imagine he has tenure. Mm-hmm. Yes, he has tenure. So, what happened to him?
He concluded that young girls reported feeling pressured into receiving medical transition treatments, including drugs to block puberty, etc.
Right. And for that, he was what now? He was suspended?
The journals that he writes for told him he wrote, which was a
psychological, like a study.
Yeah.
But it was focusing on the experiences of one particular woman, I think, with her daughter. Anyway, it's if you look for these kinds of studies, because after our story meeting, I went and looked for the article, and I was able to download it, but across the front of it, because what happened was the transgender activists got together, about 100 of them, and they bashed Springer. I think it's called Springer Publishing, which produces a lot of these scientific journals. And they demanded that the journal in which this article was published retract it. And that's what they did. They retracted it. So I was able to download it, but across it is in big letters, says retracted article. Mm-hmm. And this individual, J. Michael Bailey, tried to talk to lawyers about suing, because this harms his reputation.
Yes.
But there was nothing legally they could do. And so that's why he's saying, listen, I'm being censored here. It's a peer-reviewed journal.
You know.
And his article got published, but then they retracted it because of pressure from these transgender.
As bizarre as it sounds, it's now become trendy in youth pop culture to identify as a transgendered person, or to say you're transitioning. I mean, it's kind of like a fad.
Well, that's what he says in his article. He said these young girls feel pressured to say, "Yeah, I'm transgendered too."
Right? Yay!
Yeah.
Then everybody claps for you and says, "What a brave person you are." All right. We're going to be back with more of today's issues on the American Family Radio Network in a couple of minutes. Stay with us.
This is today's issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of today's issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of today's issues.
So raise your hand if you've seen the movie Sound of Music. Gotcha.
Sound of Music.
I've seen it.
I've seen that one.
Everybody's seen Sound of Music, but now, there's Sound of Freedom.
Yes.
That is just it's the movie blockbuster shock of the summer, I guess you could say.
That's for sure.
Because Jim Caviezel is the star. Mm-hmm. And this movie is about child sex trafficking. And it is, so it's a dark subject. That's why I wonder whether the movie would, you know, do any good. By do any good, I mean, would people really go see it because of the nature of the topic? But this film is just going gangbusters, Fred. I've seen it. You've seen it, right?
Yeah.
I plan on seeing it.
We decided to go this weekend. It was hard to find. We have two theaters in the town where we live. Hard to find a seat. Still,
it's picking up. It's been picking up steam in terms of people going to see it.
You're seeing
because word of mouth. A lot of people word of mouth.
It's a powerful movie.
Yeah,
very powerful because it's based on a true story.
Right.
Of this man who worked for Homeland Security, and one case he got involved with involved child trafficking, and it burdened him so is that he went to work to rescue many, many dozens of kids, and. Boy, I tell you what, it's a well-made movie, but it addresses a very serious topic. We talked to our own Steve Tiber. Part of 8 Days of Hope now is building homes for these kids who are rescued. I think there's a new home being built in Ohio right now by 8 Days of Hope.
We have Steve back on to talk about that.
Yeah. It is. And I tell you what, if you go from, you know, being angry when you're watching this film at the characters and what they do to these little kids, the abductors, and then sell these kids like dogs or cats.
Right.
They sell these kids and they move these kids around and how they are abused. But, you know, attention is being brought to this. You know what the other thing that I thought while I was watching this movie is how the open border policy of this current administration and this is not a new thought. We know that child trafficking has increased in the last few years because of the open border policy of this administration. And sadly, at the end of the movie, they say on the screen that the United States, how do I put this, is the worst country in the world as far as receiving these trafficked kids. The number of clients, whatever, however you want to phrase that, that this is a, unfortunately, the place in the world where most of these kids end up because of the demand, sadly, shockingly, is so strong in this country.
That's, you mentioned that this morning in our story meeting. I did not know that that was true. But I did know that, for example, during Super Bowls, that in whatever city the Super Bowl is held, there is a tremendous amount, of course, prostitution, but that includes women and children who've been trafficked. But I did not know the United States was the largest consumer of people who have been sex trafficked. This movie, by the way, has made $85 million so far at the box office.
Yes.
But I'm also fascinated in a, this probably fascinated is not the right word, disturbed in the fact that there are a lot of left-wing publications that seem to be writing about Sound of Freedom as if it's overblowing and overestimating the size of the problem, even talking about it in terms of it being conspiracy and QAnon and all this kind of thing.
Yes.
So, in fact, I just was looking at a Bloomberg article, and I can't read the whole thing because it's behind a paywall, but they are talking about, as many critics have linked Sound of Freedom to the pro-Trump QAnon conspiracy cult, and that's the way these kinds of articles have been going. That's pretty disturbing to almost deny that there's a serious problem and that this movie makes too much of it as if it's a a really big problem when it's not. That seems to be what they're saying.
I tell you what, it's a bunch of sickos in this world, isn't there?
Yeah.
Huh?
Yes.
I mean.
Listen, both my sisters have seen it. I do plan on going to see it. We haven't been able to get free on weekends to do so. I'm not talking about my wife and I.
You need to free yourself.
Huh?
You need to free yourself.
Yeah. Be able, huh? Well, both my sisters have seen it. And one of my sisters saw it this weekend, and both my sisters were saying, "Oh, we need to institute the death penalty for child traffickers." I mean, they were just like, I mean, they were very disturbed by this movie.
All right, and I agree with you, Fred, that the open borders policy of the Biden administration, that is to not secure our border and not enforce our laws, has just encouraged the flow of more children and females into this country who are being trafficked. There's just no question. It only stands to reason, because if you have a supply and demand and there's nothing inhibiting, like a secure border does, and real punishment, then obviously you're going to have more child trafficking, human trafficking into the U.S. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Fred, next story.
Well, the election campaign for 2024 is certainly well underway, and it's only going to increase. I think Fox has the first debate coming up this coming Sunday night. We're not sure yet how many candidates. Yeah, 23rd.
I thought that was in August in Milwaukee.
No, this is the Fox. This is the in Iowa. I believe it's in Iowa. But anyway, coming up on Sunday night is the first debate. Now, we don't know how many are going to be involved in that debate.
Fred, I don't
am
mean
I wrong?
I don't mean to disagree with you, brother. I think you're wrong about this one.
Okay.
And if I'm wrong, I'm willing to, you know, not admit I am. But the first GOP debate is in August.
I think that's in Wisconsin.
That's right. First debate, Wisconsin, August. Ed, you want to settle this score between the brothers?
Well, that is what I thought. I thought the first one was in August.
So you side with me?
But I don't know what Fred may be talking about. Is this kind of like the Tucker Carlson?
They had a Tucker Carlson interview.
That was in Iowa.
That was in Iowa. That was Friday. I think it was Thursday and Friday, Friday and Saturday, or all day Friday. It was in Iowa. It was Tucker Carlson interviewing one-on-one several of the presidential candidates.
Right.
Is that what you're thinking about, Fred?
Fred's looking it up.
I'm looking it up here.
Because there's no debate in Iowa this weekend. So
okay. I may be wrong about that.
You are wrong.
I'll keep checking it.
No, you're not maybe. You are wrong. People, don't email me. I'm just teasing, okay?
Hey, listen. The aim is to be accurate.
The aim is to be accurate. I was just helping our brother, Fred, be accurate.
However,
okay. So we do have a debate coming up, an official debate.
Yes.
Coming up in August in Milwaukee.
Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
And that's the one that former President Trump has not decided yet.
Whether he will participate.
Yeah, anyway, go ahead.
There was a forum involving some of the Republican candidates.
Yes, sir. We can agree.
Yes, on Friday, sponsored by Blaze Media.
Yes.
And the host was Tucker Carlson. And I was excited about Tucker Carlson because I think he is just one of the best as far as asking questions. He's very polite, but he's very pointed and well-researched. I wanted to give you an example. One of the candidates who agreed to be part of this forum in Iowa was former Arkansas Governor Asa Hutchinson. And the issue that Tucker Carlson discussed with Asa Hutchinson had to do with the transition procedures being used. We've talked about surgery, but we've also talked about hormone treatment. When Asa Hutchinson was governor, he divided those two. He was against surgery, but he did not come out against hormone treatment. Tucker Carlson's point was hormone treatment is just as permanent as a physical operation.
Right.
So have a listen to this exchange between Tucker Carlson and Asa Hutchinson, cut number 5.
If there is confusion, then parents ought to be the one that guides the children. That, to me, is an important fundamental principle. Now, obviously, you could take it too far, and if there would have been a bill that said you should not ever have transgender surgery as a minor, I would sign that amendment because no parent should be able to consent to that permanent change.
In the subsequent 2 years, I think we've learned that hormone therapy for prepubescent children is permanent. It changes the bone structure, it changes the brain of the child. A lot of people believe, including me, that it destroys the child's life, but it is permanent. Why would we allow that if we don't allow surgery? And so that raises clearly you've answered the question. You believe it's treatment. You believe, I suppose, that people can change their sex. Because if you don't believe that, you wouldn't call it treatment, would you?
Well, the God created two genders.
Okay, is that all he said? We're not being unfair to the former governor, are we?
Nope.
Okay. Tucker did a pinata nail right there, huh? Is that what you call it?
Mm-hmm.
Well, he beat the pinata and candy came out.
I think I got my Mexican party tricks mixed up.
Party
you
favors?
You don't nail a pinata. Well, you do nail a pinata in the fact that you hit it with a stick.
Yeah.
I'm talking about, I don't know what I'm talking about. A nail on the donkey.
I've never, pin the tail
on the donkey.
Yeah, pin the tail on the donkey. Yeah. that is with a thumbtack or a nail of some sort.
All right. It's really not important that Tim made a fool of himself right there. The important thing is that Governor Asa Hutchinson, bless his heart, had no answer for Tucker Carlson when Tucker Carlson said, look, you can't be in favor of hormone therapy. And if you're in favor of hormone therapy for children to convert them to a different sex, the opposite sex than they are, it's the same thing as surgery. And Asa Hutchinson seems to be trying to say there's a difference. He split the difference, right? Am I right?
No, that's exactly right, because Tucker Carlson said as the knowledge of what's happening during quote-unquote treatment advances, we are finding out that taking drugs does also permanently affect
the child. Right, and that's what Tucker Carlson did a great job there of articulating that.
Yeah.
Much better than I did, but Tucker Carlson, I watched some of the, I didn't watch every interview, but it was a great forum, a great idea by our friend Bob Vanderplatz in Iowa with the Iowa Family Council, I think it is, and Blaze TV covered it. Former President Trump was not there. He chose not to go to Iowa for this sit down with Tucker Carlson. Instead, he was at the Turning Point event in Florida, which none of the other presidential candidates on the Republican side went to, I think. Maybe Vivek Ramaswamy.
Vivek
Ramaswamy.
Vivek. My apologies. Anyway, the point is that Tucker interviewed all those candidates, and he's hard hitting. He's tough, but he's fair. Mm-hmm. And Governor DeSantis sat down with him. Nikki Haley sat down with him. Tim Scott, the senator from South Carolina, sat down with him. Vice President Pence sat down with him, former Vice President Pence. And I've forgotten who else. Right there, Asa Hutchinson.
Mm-hmm.
And I've forgotten who else sat down with.
I think Nikki Haley, did you mean?
Yes,
yeah.
former.
Chris Christie? Did he sit down?
I don't know.
By the way, Bob Vanderplatz is President and CEO of the Family Leader.
Family Leader, yeah. Bob's a friend of ours here, and he does a great job there in leading the pro-family movement there in the state of Iowa. Anyway, so that took place over the weekend. To your point about as we move forward in this eternal primary process that we find ourselves in America. You know what? I wish we could do. I know this is impractical. We can't do this. I wish we could just say, "Listen, all you, no politics till after Thanksgiving, okay? Maybe after Christmas, And then we can all focus on the primary season. Unfortunately, that's not the way it works. Yeah. We sort of get – you start to start talking about the next presidential election like within a couple of months after an election takes place.
Yes.
It's just like we're in this perpetual campaigning mode. But anyway, well, let me ask you guys something. You think the Democrats, they're not going to allow any debates, right? Because they have an incumbent president. So RFK will not be debating Joe Biden.
That's right.
Right?
Right.
Yes.
So if RFK is going to beat Joe Biden, which is very doubtful, and there were a Democrat primary, he'll just have to beat him without ever having to be, not allowing to be on stage with Biden.
Mm-hmm. He's not going to be allowed to go head to head.
Head to head. Yeah, which Biden couldn't do, quite frankly, no. I don't think. Huh? Do you think so?
No, absolutely
he's
not.
He's getting worse by the day.
Yes.
His cognitive ability.
And don't sleep on that other dark horse candidate for the Democrats, Marianne Williamson.
Yeah.
Who's kind of a new age nutcase.
Well, I was going to ask her for her strengths and weaknesses. She could break those down for us.
Yeah. She is
made a lot of money selling books.
Marianne is a nice name.
Yeah,
That's a very pretty name.
Yeah, it is.
That's the positive.
That's a positive side.
The other side of the ledger is a new age nutcase.
Okay,
so
is it Course on Miracles or
hers?
Is that how she made her living? Made her money.
She has written books, but I'm checking to
She was very popular. Writer.
She probably still is very popular in terms of New Age.
Maybe I got Course of Miracles mixed up with somebody else. But it just seems like
she's the spiritual leader of the church of today.
Oh, sure.
I think it's a Unitarian church.
Uh-huh.
Reflections on the Principles of a Course in Miracles. Let me see if she wrote the earlier.
Is that the name of it? Look, I think Brother Tim was right.
No.
Huh?
No.
Why not?
Helen Schumann wrote A Course in Miracles in 1976. Williamson developed an interest in that, and then she wrote the book Reflections on A Course in Miracles.
Yeah, she wrote Reflections on A Course in Miracles. I missed that. Reflections on A Course in Miracles.
She reflected on it.
It's New Age.
Yes.
Humanistic teachings. She sold a lot of those, and that's how she got her fame and fortune right there. But she said she's running for president on the Democrat side, but she's not getting any attention whatsoever except for the last 2 minutes on this show. Am I right? She did get 2 minutes on this show.
Yes.
But she's not going to be able to.
No.
She's not going anywhere.
I don't think people are going to take her seriously.
Right.
Robert F. Kennedy Jr., people are taking seriously. Right. I've seen him as high as 15 or 17% of Democrats liking RFK Jr.
Right.
But he has, honest to goodness, political pedigree. He's a successful attorney who has sued some major corporations. I think he was involved in the lawsuit against Roundup. Remember that cancer, big cancer ruling that resulted in billions of dollars, I think, being paid out. But anyway, so he is...
RFK Jr.
RFK Jr. is a more serious challenger, I think, to Joe Biden.
Yeah. All right, Fred, what else related to this story of primary season?
Primary season. Well, Mr. Trump was not at the forum on Friday in Iowa, but the former president did sit down with Fox Business's Maria Bartiromo on Sunday.
Bartiromo.
And was asked the question by her with regards to the Ukraine war. If you become president, what are you going to do about that? Interesting response. Cut number three.
You said you could end the war in Ukraine in 24 hours.
Yes, I
could. How would you do that?
I know Zelensky very well. I felt he was very honorable because when they asked him about the perfect phone call that I made, he said it was indeed perfect. He said it was, he didn't even know what they were talking about. He could have grandstanded, oh, I felt threatened.
Well, that's not going to be enough for Putin to stop bombing
no,
Ukraine.
No, I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is that I know Zelensky very well and I know Putin very well, even better. And I had a good relationship, very good with both of them. I would tell Zelensky, no more, you got to make a deal. I would tell Putin, if you don't make a deal, we're going to give them a lot. We're going to give them more than they ever got if we have to. I will have the deal done in one day. One day.
All right, Fred. Do you want to comment on the one-day end of the Ukraine-Russian war by former President Trump?
Well, I think key in that statement from the former president was you have to sit down and negotiate. And I think what's the ingredient in that is that Zelensky would be told you have to give up some of that.
Give up what?
Some of the eastern portion of your country, which is what Putin said initiated all of this, that it was encroaching on his country, that Crimea area, and he wants that back. So I think that is what the former president is talking about, that he would make Zelensky cave somewhat to Putin in order to get a settlement of some type.
Yeah, you got to have leverage in order to get people to do something that they're currently unwilling to do. So the leverage on Ukraine, and this is I thought this may have been I watched Tucker Carlson with Chris Christie. I think that was the two. Anyway, so Tucker Carlson was talking about ending the war, 24 hours or what have you, and Chris Christie, I believe I have this right.
I think it was Tim Scott. Tim Scott was asked a question in the forum by Tucker Carlson.
Okay, whoever it was.
Yeah.
And so the question back to Tucker Carlson was, well, yeah, but how would you do that? Mm. And Carlson said, well, you just tell Ukraine we're not going to fund the war effort anymore. Now, that's leverage. Because without U.S. aid, and to some extent aid from NATO countries, Ukraine could not prosecute the continuation of the war. So I'm not saying that's what should be done. I'm just saying that's what I mean when I say leverage. What kind of leverage do you have on Vladimir Putin? I'm not sure that just having a personal friendship with Putin, which is what Trump is claiming, is leverage. Putin wants to keep Crimea and some of these other little regions in the eastern part of Ukraine. I don't think he's going to give that up, and I don't think there's any leverage that's going to make him give that up.
Okay, now, and what former President Trump said right there, though, is if Putin doesn't do what I tell him to do, then we're going to arm the Ukraine to the teeth.
Yes, that's the potential to start World War III in Europe.
But what people will tell you who are hardcore supporters of President Trump is that he's against foreign war, entanglement of America in foreign wars.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right.
Which I think you could say that was true during his administration. He didn't get us into any wars. Right? Now, we didn't get out of Afghanistan. We know what happened with Biden trying to get out of, well, did get us out of Afghanistan, but not without a big fiasco that went along with it. But What President Trump's talking about right there in negotiating a settlement within 24 hours is he not, that if Putin says no to a negotiated settlement, whatever that might be, you get a third of the Ukraine, and then we stop the war. Okay, if Putin says, nope, I'm not going to do that, you're not going to tell me what to do, then Trump is saying, all right, I'm ready. Let's go then. Let's get the war on underway.
Well,
is that being unfair? When Trump says, we're going to give Ukraine a lot?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Play it again, because I don't want to misquote the former president here.
You said you could end the war in Ukraine in 24 hours.
Yes, I could.
How would you do that?
I know Zelensky very well. I felt he was very honorable because when they asked him about the perfect phone call that I made, he said it was indeed perfect. He said it was, he didn't even know what they were talking about. He could have grandstanded, oh, I felt threatened.
Well, that's not going to be enough for Putin to stop bombing
Ukraine.
No,
I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is that I know Zelensky very well and I know Putin very well, even better. And I had a good relationship, very good with both of them. I would tell Zelensky, no more, you got to make a deal. I would tell Putin, if you don't make a deal, we're going to give them a lot. We're going to give them more than they ever got if we have to. I will have the deal.
Okay, what I'm saying is, if that's your strategy, you don't tell Maria Bartiromo that that's what you're going to do. You tell Putin that in private. But now that he has said it publicly, if he threatens to give Ukraine everything that they want to fight Russia, Putin is going to say, he has no room to back out. You have now publicly shamed him in advance. That is going to escalate things, and I wouldn't be surprised if they use tactical nuclear weapons.
We'll be back in 5 minutes.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.
Faith,